welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. With us, Mr. Mike Hernandez.
That's right. It's me.
That's you.
That's who I am.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. So today's episode, we had a little thing happen in a recent shoot, right? Not going to mention.
You slapped me in the face in front of everybody.
My hand still feels it.
Bro, these are like football hands.
Yeah.
Bigger than my face.
Receiver hands
right here. Oh my gosh.
I had you on a project. We had a big concert recently, Triller Fest, and pretty cool. You weren't part of the concert. You couldn't be able to do that, but
family time.
You were able to be a part of the promo.
Yes, that was really cool. Shoot for it.
That was a super cool. I wish I was able to.
I'm so glad you couldn't do it.
No, you would have still been there too. I just couldn't have been there. Walk me through that project. We're promoting the concert that's coming up with Gente de Zona, which is cool. A really cool group there. Walk me through that project. What was that about?
So it was a modern day flash mob where they would just stop traffic and just have a pop-up concert. Really cool concept. I know it's been done before, but this was really cool to be involved in it and literally be in the artist's face of Gente de Zona. Are we allowed to say their names?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna be putting, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be putting the clips of the video that you edited onto this over this. So
focus on all the B-roll with me in it.
There you go. Yeah. We'll put all that stuff.
Yeah. Telemundo had it, Univision had it.
That's right.
I was on that truck with them.
Because there was a lot of news stations covering it, and you were on that truck You're famous.
Famous.
You're too big for this podcast soon.
We can tattoo my signature on your arm.
I'll put it right.
Whoa, that's intense. There. So it was a really cool experience. Yeah. We got there. We what was funny is they didn't know this. But I like their music.
Oh, right? Okay. There you go.
But when they asked me, you know who the artist is, right? I'm like, yeah. I was like, I had no clue who they were. Yeah. It was really bad.
So you heard their music. That happens to me all the time.
I recognized their music. When I heard it, I go, oh, yeah, I love these guys. I just never knew who they were.
Right.
So I couldn't tell that to them. It's one of those fake it till you make it kind of things. Like, yeah, I know it. Then I'm like looking for banners, looking for stuff. And I see the artist. And I'm like, okay, I hope I recognize
them. Who are these guys?
Sure enough, one of them passed right by me. I didn't even know who he was. And I'm like, oh, no.
How many times has that happened?
Oh, man. But no, it was cool. It was really quick. And got into the RV with them and got some stuff. There were so many people in there, which I was a little bit surprised with the whole coronavirus thing. But it was great, man. It was awesome. And then they painted the girls in like Cuban flags and body paint. And that was really cool. And we got some good BTS stuff of the setup. We had a drone guy out there. He was amazing. Phenomenal guy. And fully ready. And I told him, listen, you better have batteries. You better have no frequency issues. Take a pass or two. Figure this out. We get one shot.
Right. Because this is a flash mob that you cannot redo.
Cannot redo it. There is no redo.
It's a 6-minute flash mob where we're blocking all the streets. We're blocking this big intersection to roll out this big out.
Hold on. It's not just any intersection. It's 49th Street and 16th. It's like
most people won't know what that means.
All the Cubans drive through that. And have you ever driven in a Cuban environment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their blinkers are non-existent. I've always told my wife, if you drive defensively, you're going to get in an accident in Hialeah. You have to drive aggressively.
Yeah, you do.
That's the safest route.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, so it's not just intersection. Right, it's right, really busy, yeah. So that was
really cool. Yeah, we blocked it off and to do this performance that they've been practicing. And the job was, we need to capture it all, right? And we had to capture reactions. We had to capture, you know, obviously capture the performance, the actual artists that were going to be there. Mm-hmm. I did not know that the artists were actually going to be there. I thought it was just a flash mob.
That's why I came in a little confused.
Though. Right, because that's what I was told.
Yeah.
So there's always that miscommunication that's with the client. They failed to mention that the actual artists for the concert that we're promoting were going to be there. So anyways, that was a little
super cool experience.
Regardless, though, we captured it.
Yeah. So we captured basically the live experience of everything just dead, normal day life. Right. And then all the setup, all the people coming in, there were all the 40 dancers that they had. Choreographers.
Yeah.
And
we're showing all this footage on the video portion of this podcast right now.
So it was a really cool experience. And I got to be on the flatbed with them. So that was a cool experience. And listen, So we're in the RV and I tell him, listen, in my broken Latin Cuban Spanish that, you know, I started really picking up
Spanish. Say it in Spanish first and then say it in English. Oh, Lord. What did you tell
Everyone's going to rip me for
Come
this.
Come on, man.
Yeah, mira, yo soy la cámara más importante, por favor. Mírame cuando estamos así afuera, okay? And they just laughed at me. I don't know if they were laughing at me or laughing with me.
Now translate what you just said.
I said, I am the most important camera. Focus on me when we get out there. Mind you, there's like 100 cameras out there.
So did they do that?
Yeah, they actually were great. Again, I don't know their names.
How but awesome it is that you were able to direct them.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. And they listened. They were cool. Yeah. I mean, they were just like, they were there for the ride. Man. Awesome. They were really cool about it. And sure enough, I was standing on top of the tow truck bed thing, nice. Right on top. And he would play to my camera and really cool. And then we had Adrian Ruiz out there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting all the other shots of the people and the reactions, the dancers.
Nice.
And, you know, we could have used another 5 videographers out there to really get the whole experience. But, man, we got so much. It was phenomenal. Yeah. It was really cool. And Sweet. It was just interesting to see, you know, we're surrounded by cops. They shut down the whole place just for us.
Nice.
Get out there and kind of run and gun. You know, That's awesome. I had to think about, like, getting all the batteries that I need, you know. Worst case scenario, I had a backup card. God forbid. Like, you know you don't need it. Yeah. But it's like you get one shot. So I had backups of everything in my pockets. I looked like a clown with like big old fat. The news station's like, who's that guy with funny looking pants?
Yeah.
it was great.
Cool, man. So I love that. That seemed like a cool event. I wish I was a part of it. But, you know, I had another shoot. But I was fully confident that you were going to cover that well.
Anytime there's a really cool shoot, please just be busy.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'll make sure that I get called. The big ones. What I really wanted to bring up was the fact that we almost didn't have a drone operator for that day. So as I was running out of options, always my go-to is to just post it on social and see who responds.
Well, if we backtrack just a little bit,
sure.
I was in charge of finding someone. I had someone. And then God, you know, forbid these kind of things happen in production, but person's mother had just passed away.
Oh, that's like right.
The day before.
You had an operator. That's right. Yeah,
so everything was set. And then unfortunately, I had to come to you and go, this is the situation. What do we do? And you're hey, I'm going to post it on social because I've done that before.
That's right. I forgot about that part. You had somebody. Because this was your...
Because it was covered.
Yeah, it was covered.
But, I mean, what... No, but this can't
was...
plan that.
It was like 3 days before, though. It was three... So we had... Yes, we had time. We had time.
I think it was 2. But yeah, whatever. Yep.
We had time. I know this because that same day, I posted it on social. Hey, looking for a drone operator. Low budget. $250. It's for a 6-minute flash mob. It's what we have right now, you know? So, you know, let's see who responds. Mm-hmm. We don't need anything crazy. We didn't need an octocopter with a red out there. No. So we had several replies. I picked one guy that I guess he had always followed me. And I'm like, all right, let me finally try this guy out. You know, he said he could do it. He said he's available. So he responds. And let me pull this out. I'm not mentioning any names. I definitely want to pull this up because I think that I decided to make this into sort of, I guess, what not to do when trying to get hired and how to deal with clients or potential clients.
There's two ways, the two perspectives to look into what you're about to share is the person as if you were that person.
Right.
And also the one hiring.
So he said it was available. I reached out, you know, it's like, hey, you said you're available. What drone do you have? I think he said he had the Mavic Air 2 or whatever. I'm like, perfect. That's the one that I have. That's perfect. Yeah. More than enough that we need. I didn't have a time yet. I didn't even tell him. I just told him a place and a day. I give him the location. Mm-hmm. So the guy shows up the day before to the location and then he sends me a picture. He's like, hey, is this the place? Is it by the circuit? I've never been to the place. I said it's at the parking lot of a mall. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, hey, dude, you're the day early. It's the next day. And apparently he already knew that. He was just scouting the place, which is cool.
That's cool.
Cool, yeah. Right? So then he says... he writes, all right, great. We're all set. The time is the only thing I want to know because it will be a deal breaker if it's after 4 p.m.
And this is when did he tell you that?
The day before that he's at location. It'll be the first thing is the way he approaches it. He says it will be a deal breaker if it's after 4 p.m. First of all, I should have known that when he first said that he was available. Right.
Yeah.
You tell somebody that you're available. But you know that after 4 p.m., you're not available, even if I don't have a time yet, disclose that.
For sure.
You
shouldn't even think twice about that.
And I said, setup is at 2:30. And then I said, I wish you would have told me about that, mm-hmm. the after 4 p.m. thing. And then I'm asking him, so do you have a hard out at 4? And then he said, well, if that's an issue, now you know. I was given an address and a date, not a time. I have to be in Isla Morada at 6 p.m. And he goes, you let me know if you find someone else then. If not, you know till what time I am available.
Wow, it's a bit rude.
Wow, right? So he's telling me, let me know if you found somebody else. If not, that's the only time I'm available until.
So I think it would, yeah, sure. It would have been nice because I also didn't have the time.
Right.
It would have been nice to know the time from the beginning. But even then, I would have told you, hey, listen, you may not have a time yet, but before 5 days out, whenever you contact me, I would have been like, I'm scheduled from this day, from this time on that date.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't just forget he didn't have a time. He should have just told you, hey, listen, whatever it is, just know I'm be busy after this time and I need to be out by my heart out is this time.
Sure.
That would have helped you go, oh, maybe I need to have a backup person or press you harder to get from the client because they're the ones that didn't give it to you. It wasn't you.
Just first of all, his approach, his disposition, I could already sense attitude coming from him. That already makes me uneasy to even want to work with him, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, it's the day before and he's telling me now that he's essentially cannot be there. So then I said, well, the flash mob is at 6. I'm sorry. The flash mob is 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's 6 minutes long and it starts at 4:30. Even though I was wrong, it was at 5:30 that it started later.
Which we didn't find out that.
Even then, let's say it was at 4:30. His next reply, his next message was, I'm out then.
There's no relationship between you two. So it's not even like you can count on some history there. It's just rude.
Bro, to have that as a disposition, I'm out then, like just like that. Ouch. Just like that, flat out, I'm out then.
Peace.
So I was trying to bite my tongue a little bit and I'm just, you know, I was like, how should I backhand this guy with text? And, you know, like, should I even do that? Should I even stay? I stayed quiet for a little bit. I just put K.
Safe.
And then he writes, hopefully next time I can help out.
Next time. He's still trying to plant a seed.
So, and then I said, I told him, it's not a good start, man. Makes me nervous considering you next time. Ooh, you know?
Honest.
It's, you know, it's not a good start. Like, dude. And then he goes off and then he says, that's totally fine by me. There won't be a next time. Burn that bridge, which I thought was hilarious.
Whoa.
I thought was funny. He said, there won't be a next time. Burn that bridge. I built the bridge, first of all. I was the one reaching out to you to hire you, right?
Who does he think he is?
And so anybody that's anybody that has experience in this industry does not talk that way. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to believe that he's a young buck. Mm-hmm. He's very prideful. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have work all the time because no client would hire him with this kind of attitude. And this is the only reason, like, I don't want to say his name. I don't want to say anything. This is the only reason I'm sharing this is because I think it's very valuable to know how not to act with a client. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not the attitude and approach that you take with any client whatsoever. That's just really, really bad, right?
One thing I've gained from this industry is just like any other industry, it's all about relationship.
Yeah.
People don't look at it like that. I worked with a director on a Ulta shoot, Ulta makeup, and we were in the Keys, and she treated everyone like garbage. Mm. She thought she was whatever she thought she was. And by the time the shoot was over, just her walking into the room, it was like it sucked everyone's energy out. It was so bad. Then we were in an elevator and you ever have a moment that you ponder about throughout the years? Like if you wish you just would have said something, you know? But it's like, I bit my tongue and she goes, well, it was great. Now, so I'm not going to go into details of what she did, but bottom line is she yelled at me for something that was a very simple mistake, something I'm sure it was my fault. I mean, simple. Did anything bad occur from it? Absolutely not. It was just process. The way she dealt with me, she degraded me down. She tore me down in front of everybody. Like, she had something against me, and I had barely even met her at this point. And everyone felt bad for me. And one of the guys started to step in to help me out because they felt this gang up that came from absolutely nowhere. Then she did it to someone else. Then she did it to someone else. By the time the shoot was over, everyone got a little piece of her wrath, right? So we get in the elevator. It's wrapped. And we're going. This is the last time I'm going to see her. It's just her and I. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so awkward. She just like tore me to pieces. And she goes, well, it's great working with you. I look forward to the next time. All I could get out of me was,
Oh my God.
That was it. Because what I really wanted to say was just a rip or new one. So then years later, I worked with a guy who was on the shoot. And I'm like, whatever happened to that client? Like, I never saw that client again. She goes, we lost it because of her. I was like, are you kidding me? And so it kind of tells you, it's not just about how great you may think you are. It's about relationship, how you treat people. In this industry, it's you work with the people you like to work with.
Yeah.
People who are good at what they do, what they do, but that you enjoy. It almost becomes a sense of family when you get to finally find a crew that you just all, you know what each other are thinking. I'm
starting to develop that, bro.
It's amazing.
Yeah, dude.
It's an amazing thing to have.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing. It's a relationship. And this guy, what he's burning this bridge on his own. Will you ever hire him?
Heck no. Even if he's available, all day at the right price, I just, that left toxic. Such a horrible taste in my mouth. Just having that conversation with him, to see his disposition, to see his attitude. I never want to work. I hope I never work with this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has
some kind of change of heart or change of experience.
Dude, maybe, maybe. But like, so not, that wasn't the end. So after he
said that was over.
No, after he said burn that bridge, then he goes, at least I brought the subject up for you to still have time to find someone else the day before. That doesn't help.
It's not an easy thing to just quickly replace.
Yeah, drone operator, exactly. In fact, I have three people who can do the job, but now F it.
Oh.
He says that whole word, F it. I'm not gonna repeat that.
I think we
And then he said, last thing he says was keep preaching.
So now he's just attacking from what, because he's a fan of yours. Bro. Obviously no longer.
No, he's still following me. I don't follow him though. No, because when I went back to find the message, I don't see that. It just says follow back. But it was surreal. It was surreal. And again, knowing what I know, the experience that I've gone through, no one has ever spoken like that in this industry, which leads me to believe he's not really in the industry. Because nobody would work with you that way.
You wouldn't keep getting work with that.
There's no possible way. So I think that, you know, sharing that needed to be done just, again, to show how not to communicate with your clients. I had an episode earlier, and you know, you could all go back and listen to it. It's called Serving Your Clients, you know, and that's what it is. Like, you're in that episode, I basically talk about how when they hire you, it's a given that you know video, that, you know, obviously to the level that you know it is really what they're going to hire you more or pay you more for. Mm-hmm. But what's going to keep them is your customer service. You know what I mean? So the way you deal with your clients is, dude, I take big pride in being a problem solver for my clients. Mm-hmm. I take big pride in trying to find solutions and trying to help them. Obviously, they have to have a budget. This is assuming that they have the budget. If they don't, I try to, you know, find somebody else that can do it for them. It's a customer service industry, really. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to keep them. This is not to say that, dude, there has been many times where I've been booked for a job, fully booked, clients ready to go, and a bigger job comes in that I just can't ignore.
We're going to open up that can.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to open up that can. This is how I handle it. I never tell the client I have something else or not even that. Even let's say I'm, even if I'm nice about it, I never leave them stranded. my first duty is to find somebody that's just as good and that can replace me. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they're available and that they're good with the rate. Give them all the information that I know, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I'll approach you. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, I got this job, but I can't do it because I got something else or something came up, whatever it is. This is the rate. This is the information that I have. Can you handle this? Mm-hmm. Are you available? If you say yes, 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 great. You're available. Let me get with the client to see if they're cool with this. Then I approach the client. Hey, listen, something came up. I cannot handle this job, but I have somebody already who is available at the same rate. They're just as good. Sometimes I'll even say they'll have, sometimes I've sent you out with my FX9. Mm-hmm. They'll have the FX9. They'll have my camera, whatever it is, whatever they needed. Mm-hmm. I'm just replacing myself. That's all that's ever happening. I'm never leaving my clients hanging without a operator now, because that's horrible. And I've done that several times. And those clients still come back because they know they're being taken care of.
So the one cool thing to learn about that from a different perspective, because someone mm-hmm. might be watching and sure. they would have handled that differently. Okay. And it's the way I would have handled it
sure.
before I stepped into really being an entrepreneur about how I'm handling my business. So for example,
sure.
someone else might have been where I was years ago, where they would have said the client's like, hey, are you available for these dates? Is the rate, blah, blah, taking all the information. When the time came that you realized you can't fulfill on it, would have been like, I'm sorry, I'm just not available. Thinking individual. Mm-hmm. That's not how a business owner operates. They go, no, you're my client. You've come to me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to service all of your needs. And so I had a big epiphany when I stepped into the realm of having people work with my company, under my company name, where I went, instead of just, hey, maybe contact this person or contact that person or even just give them contacts for them to handle, mm-hmm. I would talk to them and be like, hey, listen, this is the job. These are the hours. This is a rate. And then what I do is I tack on my own fee on top of it, which is normal. That's not a bad thing to do. That's normal business practice across all industries.
Of course.
And I found myself no longer losing clients.
Right.
I actually kept them. They were happy. That's I would still grow. Exactly. It just happened just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Something I couldn't take on an edit. So I had them. They've gotten used to now. Before, this client would say, "All right, can you handle this for me?" This time, the way they contacted me, listen, if you're not available, can your team handle it for me? Their thought pattern of how I'm running my business has mm-hmm. also shifted.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's thinking more broad, like a yep. business, not mm-hmm. like an individual freelancer, because that's where we get stuck.
That is, yeah. So that's the transition. That is definitely a transition that at some point, there's some people that continue making their living as freelancers, mm-hmm. full-time freelance. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And they got a ton of work and it's all
good. They have a ton of work. They can do all the jobs that they need to do. You know, and then there are other people that want to grow and scale. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's sort of kind of where I'm at now. So trying to figure that out where now I'm barely doing the work myself, not because I don't want to, because I want to go out and get more work, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It's time leverage.
It mm-hmm. really is. Now I'm selling time, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a very different feel. But anyways, now my approach is I can get one of my shooters to handle that, you know, mm-hmm. no problem, you know? If it's a first-time client or whatever, or just a client that, or just what the job calls for, you know, if I really don't have to be there, if I have another shoot that day, or I can use that time more wisely and do this edit that another client's been waiting on, you know? So it's one of those deals. But it's tricky. It's tricky. But at the end of the day, like you said, you know, like we've been saying, you know, taking care of your client is first and foremost.
Yeah.
Making sure that they're covered, making sure that they're not left stranded. You want that client later. And that has happened. We have clients coming back all the time. There was this one client from London, again, that hired me for a shoot, but before, and is actually especially for those people like us that we're faith-based and, you know, we have our convictions, mm-hmm. try to get the information before you accept. So first thing they always ask, hey, are you available this day, we have a shoot? And the first thing I always say, yeah, I'm available, what's up, what's the shoot, you know? Mm-hmm. So I said I was available, but they didn't tell me the subject matter yet. But this is a client that I've worked with for a while. So they always hire me all the time. And So after I said I was available, it was like 2-3 days before the shoot. Then we do a briefing call. Then they tell me what the subject matter is. And I'm like, listen, I can't do this shoot. Unfortunately, I'll get you somebody, because it was in the middle of a call. And I told them right away, but don't worry, I'll have you covered, but it can't be me. And then, you know, they were super nice about it. And they said, all right, are you just not available, or are you just not interested in the subject matter? And I'm not interested in the subject matter. It's not, you know, something that I'm comfortable covering. So, yeah, it was just my conviction. I had to lay that out plain and simple. So I found another replacement, same rate, same price, whatever it is.
Bold stance that a lot of people still wouldn't take, though. They would just bite the bullet and go against their convictions. So
yeah,
a good. What was the outcome on their response? They were just totally.
They still hire me today.
That's awesome.
So they don't call me for stories like that.
That's great.
They call somebody else. And mind you, this comes from a point of view, like the only way, like you said, not many people do that, but the only way to be able to comfortably do that, I have no problem doing that, even with my biggest clients. The only way I can comfortably doing that is understanding where my provision comes from. Mm. It's not from my clients. Mm-hmm. The Lord gives me my clients, right? Mm-hmm. And that's my belief. Mm-hmm. And that's what I fully rely on. And it's worked out well so far. So I had to tell my client that. But again, I don't leave them stranded. I don't leave them hanging like that. So I find a replacement for them, and they handle the job just fine. Mm-hmm. And they remember that. They know that. Either that, or I know the contacts of where they can find people.
So I had a job where it was a fashion shoot. You know, fashion get a little funny.
Yeah, you get.
And yeah. I'm actually personally, like, I'll do a lot of different facets of what we do, different categories. Fashion is probably my least favorite. I'll still do it, and I love everything about the industry. But sometimes the culture of fashion is very cutthroat. It's just the culture of the whole crew. Ugh. It's just like everyone feels like they're stepping on each other and trying to get ahead and all these different things. And they'll do things to make you look bad in front of someone. I don't know. The last two jobs were fantastic. Nothing like what I've seen in the past. But I'm so used to it, such a negative vibe. But I was on this project once, and I honestly didn't know anything about it. I just got thrown on there. And next thing you know, I find out like the clothing is very see-through, if you know what I mean. And I'm just like, I didn't know I signed up for this because no one said anything. And I was just thinking about my wife the whole time. I'm like, she better not find out. Babe, I hope you're not watching. And
oh my God.
Was just like, I'm trying to like be courteous, and I'm trying to like just, you know, whatever it's happening, I'm like, see if I can do something. But it was very, it was just awkward because I didn't ask that question, you know. And it was just uncomfortable for me. Yeah. Everyone else was used to it. But yeah, those are those moments where sometimes you may even get stuck in it. And it's like, I did my best, and I repented, and I went to church, and I did all that good stuff. Took like extra things of communion, you know, like took two wafers instead of one. Just kidding. But no, it was fun times.
Man. Yeah, it's hard being in our industry sometimes with our convictions. But, you know, put it this way. It's hard. It's hard if you see that as your provision, right? Mm-hmm. To me, it's easy. I have my convictions, and I know where my provision comes from. So that's, that just means that you have to give up some jobs, you know, if you're truly convicted.
And there's always more.
There's always more.
It's like, you know,
there's always
more. It's always going to be coming around.
One thing I have found is that the Lord always provides after I've rejected something big. Always happens.
It's almost like a reward for always obedience. Happens.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. There was, it's important to get that communication proper, to know what the subject matter is that you're shooting. And even today, I'll admit, I'm still guilty of not getting information. It just doesn't happen that often that I have to, the subject matter is that bad, you know?
Yeah.
But that's sort of what we kind of dive ourselves into.
Well, we did a shoot once where it was a little risque.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation, and I was just talking to you too. Like, you know, we're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be in it, reflecting what we believe. And so I had no guilt on that mm-hmm. shoot. Now, there wasn't, so everyone watching, there wasn't anything seriously happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just a little uncomfortable at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I felt like, listen, we're supposed to be here. We're representing mm-hmm. something bigger than what most people are here for. And I really do believe that every industry, maybe some of them, maybe not, mm-hmm. but every industry should have someone representing faith at some point, because there sometimes needs to be that balance of what some might be considered right. evil and good. And it's nice to be able to have a representative of Christ in all these different industries to a certain level, obviously, because mm-hmm, some people mm-hmm. might look at this and go, whoa, yeah. you know, pornographic shoots and all that stuff. But but I think it was great that we were there, mm-hmm. and I believe that there's a reason for everything. And I believe that anytime that I go into a shoot, I always pray, Lord, give me favor, walk mm-hmm. before me. And let me step into your grace with my clients. Teach me whatever it is, put the right words in my mouth that I need to know so that the entire experience is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I always pray for favor before we go and discernment, because yeah. in this world,
yeah.
we need discernment.
Yeah, no, I agree to a certain extent. Look, we were able to provide a product for that client, the likes of which they've never seen for that series that they were shooting.
Quality.
Right? Yeah. So I was proud of the fact that at the end, the final product that we provided, because we edited this too, was way better. It blew what they had before out of the water. And you can see it. It's like night and day from what they had. My conviction is I'm using the gifts and talents that the Lord has blessed me with
mm-hmm.
to elevate that. That was my conviction, my main conviction. Not the fact that I'm physically there,
because yeah.
that's one thing, but to use the gifts and talents that the Lord has blessed me with to elevate that is the real conviction that I had. So that was...
Yeah, because you had to handle it from beginning to end.
I did. And I had to see that footage and yeah. I had to... And it was just very uncomfortable the
I'm
whole
just
time.
Imagining that late at night editing.
Yeah, so like, oh, I don't know. Like, they're still my client. And I've already even told... We have an in-between... middleman, not really a middleman, the people that put us together, but yeah. we all three in a trinity sort of do a lot of big work together. I even told the person in the middle, like, I don't think I can handle another one like that one. Mm-hmm. Like, if they ask for it again, I think I'm gonna have to pass on it. It's great money. It was great money. But I think I'm gonna have to pass on that just because I don't know that, especially with the artists that they were considering doing the next one with.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
And I'll say it right here. It's Tekashi 6ix9ine. I don't think I could do a video. I really don't.
Did you ever see the podcast he was on?
No. I don't want to see anything that he's on.
Well, he was on a podcast where they had him come in, and the person they had just interviewed before him was a pastor of Hillsong.
Lovely.
Joel Houston. I believe Joel Houston, yeah. And there was a powerful moment where they asked if he would pray for him. And it was cut live. I was happy to watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. You can go on YouTube and yeah. see it. And it was just a cool moment to see, you know.
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference if my disposition is I'm going to do this so that I can preach to him, right? But at the end of the day, I have to produce a product of his that's going to go out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my brothers from my church, Yoa, said, imagine this. That product that you made for him goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down as the thing that you made for yeah. him.
That's what you're known for.
Right? And that's what I'm known for now. I can't live with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
but here's the beauty behind what we do. We can say no to a gig.
Absolutely.
That's the beauty. There's not a lot of industries or there's some people who just feel stuck, but they have to do whatever comes in because yeah. they're either an employee. And I'm not trying to say employment is bad. But it's nice to be in a position where if right. your convictions are a certain way, you could lean on them
yeah.
and say no to certain gigs. It's a blessing. That really is a blessing.
It really is a blessing.
And that's a benefit. If you're considering getting into this business and you're someone of faith, it is a benefit to be able to know that you can say no to these clients.
Yeah.
And there are rewards to that. It's not like...
If you're a real person of faith, meaning you have faith that the Lord is your provider and not the world and not your clients...
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't see your client with like money signs in your eyes rather than just another person that the Lord has brought to you.
Absolutely.
And I feel that sometimes it's a test. I feel that sometimes it's a test to see if you're willing to stay true to your convictions, mm-hmm. or are you willing to fold on them, you know,
for the greed of money.
For money.
Yeah. But yeah, don't be a drone operator who tells you the day before, I'm only available till 4.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. I just had a job too where I wasn't able to fulfill it, and something came up, and I went through everything to try to find someone to replace me. And this wasn't the kind of job where it was a studio job. So it's not the kind of that I can just put it under my name and tack on my fee and stuff like that. So, but I really feel like you really should do your best if you're ever going to have to opt out for whatever the reason might be, find a replacement and find a good one. You know, and don't hold back. Don't try to put a thumb on people that you may be scared that they'll take this job away from you. You know, understanding that.
That's good. Keep going.
You know, our provision doesn't just come from our talents. It comes from a higher source, I believe, a man of faith.
Yeah.
And I do have a little stinker about the faith community relying so much on God's favor that they don't perfect their talent. Mm. Sometimes there's a stigma that anything that is of a faith-based is a lower level of quality. What you, and I believe I have, focused on is bringing more excellence because that's what we represent. And I really want to try to kill that thing where it's like the stigma is working with someone who's faith-based, you're going to get a lower level quality.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be the case, first off.
Sure.
If you need to go back to school, if you need to get re-educated, if you have to do whatever you have to do to set yourself apart, bring excellence to what you do. And on top of that, you get God's favor on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that irks me a little bit as well, is that the quality of the faith-based media that's out there is not up to par with what the world is producing. But yeah, that's a whole nother episode get into. Well, anyways, like always, you guys, thank you so much for listening and watching. If you're on YouTube, remember, if you want to watch the video aspect of this, we're over on YouTube. Watch a lot of the shots that we got for that flash mob that Mike got to direct. He did a phenomenal job on that. We're going to put links to all that on the show notes. You can follow me, you can follow Mike. All our links are down below or on screen probably right now, but not really because we're trying to get this episode out. And so you can follow the podcast at iFilmmaker Podcast on Instagram, on Facebook, and whatnot. And so
the best podcast in town.
Glad to finally be back doing this. So
been busy working.
We've been crazy busy working. But anyways, I think this is gonna help keep us more consistent. So thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.